Be your sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Amen and amen. Let's make me a sanctuary for the Lord, right? I'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn to Psalms 105, and then to Hebrews 6. Psalms 105 and Hebrews 6. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to see everybody. Glad to have our visitor back there with us. All the way from Texas. He's a Brother Charles. He'll have to pronounce his last name because I wouldn't dare try it. But we appreciate him coming and being with us. He drove in from Valdosta just to be here with us, you know, and come in and all. And we appreciate it. And pray that the Lord would bless him and, you know, help him, guide him along the way. But we appreciate him coming. He's originally from Zimbabwe. So I was hoping Sister Milka might be here this morning that they could maybe converse a little about who they are and where they're from, but maybe she'll be here this afternoon. But just remember that, and we appreciate it. We always say, when you come one time, you're a visitor. You get a welcome. You come two times, you're part of us. You don't get welcome the second time. You're just part of us because we don't have anything to join. We don't have anything to be but the part of the body of Christ. So just remember that. All right. Remember, the Lord willing, this coming Wednesday, that Wade will be ministering for us, so keep him in mind. And also remember now the fellowship meeting will be at Brother Lee Garland's on Saturday at 3:30, so keep that in mind. Now, if you need a ride, make sure you meet us 11 o'clock at the Petmart in Gainesville, where we always meet, and on 11 o'clock. So if you need a ride, so just make sure, you know, and let us know. And also remember now that we'll be practicing the people will this afternoon for the program putting on over at the youth camp at Brother Longori. So remember that, and everybody make sure to try to let us know if you want to attend and whatever to do, where arrangements can be made and things like that. So we appreciate it. All right, Psalms 105 and Hebrews 6. Excuse my voice this morning. Father, we thank you this day that you've given us an opportunity to be able to come together and to be able to fellowship around the message or the hour that you have given unto us. And we pray that you would just bless each one of us, that you'd open our understanding to thy word, because that's what we gathered for. Truly we believe faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. So now just come and speak to each one. Lord, remember the ones that are not here. Remember the sicknesses among us and the different things. We pray that you would just bless each one. Thank you for your loving grace. And as we read your word, you come and honor your word by making it manifest among us, because we believe you and we thank you. Forgive our sins. And Lord, just cover us by thy grace and love in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalms 105, verse 17 through 22. Now you'll see immediately that this is telling you about the time of Joseph and his time and what happened and all, you know, in it. So we're using that for a little bit. So go to the 17th verse. He said, he sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant. Now that's the whole story behind, you know, how he got sold into slavery and everything. Even though he had already received the promise that he was going to be the one that they would all have to bow down to, he would be the deliverer of Israel. But now watch what happened. See? He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron until the time that his word came. The word of the Lord tried him. Now remember what that's saying. Until the time that his word came. In other words, until it come to pass what had been spoken to him of what he would be. All right? How that he would be the one that they'd have to do all these things. See, and that's what he done now. See, until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. The king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free, and made him lord of his house and ruler of all his substance, to bind his princes at his pleasure and teach his senators wisdom. But now remember, the point is that even though he had been given the word, until the time come for that word to be fulfilled, he had to be tried. All right. Now, Hebrews 6, that we've been reading some, but we'll only read 13 through 15. For when God made promise unto Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, our brother Charles is a minister, and so we maybe sometime he'll, maybe he can do it this afternoon. Maybe he can give us nothing else, a little testimony or something in the evening service, you know, a little bit to the glory of the Lord. And we appreciate, you know, the ministry. He has a church there in Dallas, Texas. So we appreciate him coming by. Now, I've been speaking for, this is message number 5 on it, and I've been speaking for a while about having a positive attitude. You know, a right mind, a positive attitude. See, because anyone, now as I've stated to you many times, but I want to say it again, anyone that has ever amounted to anything in the Bible, you know, or, you know, life itself, even in the natural world, without a positive attitude, you know, you won't develop. You, like I said, you go in to sell vacuum cleaners, and you go to somebody's house and say, I want to sell you a vacuum cleaner, but it don't work. Well, there's no need of trying to show or type the time, you know. Forget it. It's not, you don't have a positive attitude. Everything in the natural is based upon that. They call it the power of positive thinking in some religious realms. But now we don't deal with the power of positive thinking. We deal with a positive attitude about the power of God. See, because we're not trying to just say, well, we just deny these things and believe that. Well, it might be a good thing to deny a lot of things, but it won't bring to pass what you're talking about. Now watch what I'm getting to in a minute, and you'll see it in his word. See, then the key to all things in scriptural terms is to have a positive attitude. Hebrews 11:6 is talking about if you come to God, you must believe. He that cometh to God must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You've got to believe it. It's not something you just haphazardly play with or something like that. You've got to believe it. People say, well, if I would have just been there and Abraham, you know, if I'd just been like him and God spoke to me. Well, who do you think he's talking to today? I mean, if you couldn't get nothing more personal than to believe that God has spoken to us by a servant in the end time, Brother Branham, to bring us the message, you know, that we believe. But then, too, how much is it about your own personal experience of God dealing with you? We think that, and I'll cover more this evening about the point, but we think, well, there was Abraham, boy, great this and great. Now he's just a human man. Just an ordinary person, but yet he believed when God spoke to him. Now go read there in Genesis 12, the first of account. It doesn't say that God come down and done all kind of signs and wonders, and all kind of miracles happened, and then Abraham believed. No, he just spoke to him. He just spoke to him. When he spoke to him, Abraham believed it. All right? And that's based upon it. And we're supposed to be the seed of Abraham by faith. By the new birth, we're the seed of Abraham, see? Then why can't we believe what God says? See, that's our problem, is, you know, is not being able to believe. Now, there's actually people that cannot believe. There's people that you can't get them to believe. God could raise the dead right in front of them, everything else. There was some way they faked that. We got to figure out what happened now. Something went wrong. They wasn't really dead. They were just that or the other. See, they're not going to believe it. And it wouldn't matter if we stayed around here a million years upon earth. They wouldn't believe it no more. But listen, church, salvation, healing, anything you're asking for from God has to come by faith. You got to believe that God spoke to you to tell you about it. See, and that's to bring a positive attitude then to it. All right? We must believe what God has said He will do. Now, I'm reviewing back on some of the points that I've been trying to bring, you know. But remember, we must believe it. This is not just haphazardly saying, well, you know, I guess, maybe, I don't know, but we'll... No, you got to believe it. You got to believe what God said is speaking to you. You remember how I told you, and I'll tell you again, how I read the Bible, how I read the prophet's message, how I read everything. I read the Bible and looking at who it's talking about. Then I read the Bible to find Christ, the same verses. I find Christ in those verses. Then I find myself in those verses. It may be speaking of Abraham, and it may be that God appeared to Abraham as the Christ. But I've got to believe that God appears to me through the same way. See, go back and read Genesis. There's a lot of things happens before God ever appears on the scene, you know, visibly, as we would call it, to Abraham. You know, a lot of journey he goes through, but he believes God. Amen. And now remember, he didn't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost to help him believe. Amen. But see, what's wrong with you and I that claim the Holy Ghost? Right. Maybe it could be that we don't have it. Right. Well, if we found out we don't have it, then we need to seek God for it. You know, you say, well, I can't, you know, we old Baptists, you know, I can't deny God. If I deny God, He'll deny me. I ain't talking about denying God. I'm talking about being honest. I'm talking about just being honest with yourself. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing to find out you're lost when you thought all your life you're saved? That would be a wonderful opportunity. Why? Because you could seek God and get saved. But if you go on through life trying to think you are saved, then you die and go to hell, wind up in hell, and say, well, I thought I saved. But church, it's all based on a positive attitude. Right? Now, listen now. Watch what this point I want you to get. You cannot base, listen now, you cannot base it upon just what you think. Now, that'll help you. That's fine. If your thinking is according to God's Word. Now listen. See what I'm wanting you to see. See? You can't base it upon just what you think. You say, well, you've been telling us positive attitude. And that's right. But a positive attitude's got to be based on a positive Word. A positive attitude's got to be based on God did speak to you. It's got to be based upon something, see? But see, denominationalism is based upon thinking what God said. Thinking that God spoke to them. I mean, you're going to go over here across the road and not throwing off on the brother, but do you think that over there that he'd be up this morning saying, well, I don't know where God spoke to me or not, you know? No, he's over there telling them God spoke to him. And he's over there telling them the Trinity's right. Now, we're not over there. We don't know. I'm just making a statement to you. But he's telling them that the Trinity's right, and this is right, and that's right, and all. What? He's saying God spoke to him. But see, that has to be what he thinks, not what God said. Now, positive attitude can only be based upon a positive revelation. It's not based upon just, well, I think, or that sounds good. You know, I believe it's got to be based on God's Word. Now, How many denominational systems are there today that'll hold up the Bible and say, we believe it? How many people around the world today are holding up the Bible this morning and saying, we believe every letter of it? But how come there's so many divisions among the denominational systems? You know, Baptists believe this, Methodists believe this, Presbyterian this, Pentecostal this. Well, how much more is it among the people of this message? I believe this, and I believe this, I follow this, I follow that. Now, God can't be that confused. You can't think positive about a negative form. Remember, I read where the prophet said that there's nothing in God that's negative. Everything's positive. There's nothing in Christianity. We gave you the quotes where the prophet said, nothing in Christianity whatsoever that's negative. You deal with it on a positive basis. Huh? But see, you've got to believe it. Amen. Every church system, no matter what it is, claims to be based upon what the Bible says. But where's the truth of it all? As I said, you mean God is that confused that he's got 969 different interpretations about his own word? There's something wrong, folks. Now, the 2,000 or more in this message is what's the worst part of it, but see, it can't be based upon what we think God says. It's got to be based upon what he said. Then, like the prophet said, when he said it, it don't need to be interpreted. Well, that's the way you interpret it. No, it don't need to be interpreted. It needs to be said. Yeah, but Brother Dale, we need an interpreter. No, we need a revelation. Not an interpretation. You can buy them cheap as you want to. You can get them from a dime store, you know, today on the Bibles and things. But yet, what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say now about it? Now, here's what I've been trying to dwell heavily on. God will keep his word. If he says it, he's got to keep it. The prophet of God even said that if you can find where God promised you something, he said you can call him on the scene, and if he does not do that, then he lied. Now, that's how strong your prophet believed it. But when are we going to believe it like that? We know God didn't lie. We know there's something wrong with our thinking. But God does not have to back up negative thoughts. He won't back them up. He won't back up mine or your opinion of the word. But he has never failed me yet to back up what he said. Now, I've had a lot of failures because I thought he said a lot of things that he didn't say. We used to think he taught three gods, didn't we? We used to think he taught a trinity. We found out that wasn't what he's teaching. We used to think he taught that hell was eternal and stuff like that, but we found out it's not. So that was our thoughts. All right. Now, do you see what I'm saying? Our thoughts on something. All right. Now, let me restate that because I saw something. See, we don't believe in eternal hell. We don't believe in hell being eternal. Because it's not. See, you'd have to have eternal life to live in hell eternally. So you'd have to have God's own life to live in hell. So we don't believe in that. See, it's not scriptural. And my point is, God will back up his word if it's his word. Now you can lay your finger down there upon the letter of the word, but yet your mind can be thinking totally contrary to even what the letter has to say. You say, God, you said that. Like Brother Branham said, I can find a scripture where it says, Judas went and hung himself. Turn over a little bit, find another statement. You go do likewise. When I said the word, no, you didn't. You didn't say what God said. Even though you quoted letters off a page. Because he didn't say that. Alright? See, then he will keep his word if it's his word. See, that's my point I want you to see, if nothing else today. That God will not back up negative word. He will not back up your understanding or my understanding. Unless that understanding is what he said. But if it's what he says, we can, as the old saying goes, we can take it to court with us. You know, Because we got it. You don't have to worry about it, see. He won't keep now what we think. Any thought that we have that is contrary to God's word makes the word not pure anymore. You say, well, how come we're around here after all these years and the prophet came? Because we've had the word mixed up in our understanding. God brought his Bible pure, preserved it for us in the correct order, then sent us a prophet to vindicate that it was right. But what's wrong with you and I today? We still have our thinking. We still think contrary to what he said. And then we try to interpret that. It don't need to be interpreted. I just read to you that a man named Joseph was sold into slavery. And that don't look too good. Well, why would God do that? He would do that to try him to see if he was the right one. He'd do that to try him after he gave him the word. David was already anointed to be king, right? But it was a long time before David walked onto the throne to become king. And in all that time, he had a lot of trials and troubles. He could walk out there to the people and say, I'm king. They'd say, we know it, king, but we ain't on the throne. We're going to have to get this thing changed around. Now watch what we'll get to in a minute now. A positive attitude upon what God has said will produce. I've never seen it fail when I got positive about it. I've never seen it fail to when I got down to saying, God, that's what you said. I've had many times to be, you know, sick and things like that and just have to stand on what God said. So you can't take what the doctor says because he's going to tell you there's something wrong with you. But God says I'm healed. That's what I told that doctor when he said, I'll take your kneecap off probably 20 years ago or better. I said, you won't take my kneecap off. He just laughed and said, all right, go ahead. Well, I laughed and said, all right, I'm leaving. Well, I still got my kneecap, and as far as I know, he's probably dead now, I guess, because he's an elderly gentleman. But church, see, it's to take a positive attitude about something. Now, here's what the point of the message. God tried Joseph after he had given him the word. That's what we read there in the scriptures. And I said about all the others. Everybody in the Bible, Abraham, everybody that's in the Bible, when God would give them a promise, automatically a promise would bring a trial. He gave Adam and Eve a promise in the garden. Eve took her own interpretation and produce death. But see, anybody now in the Bible times could be given a promise. You know that there's a condition. Now, we don't believe in conditional salvation. We don't talk about that now. Because it's unconditional, because God gave it to you, gave you the new birth. You weren't seeking God. God was seeking you. All right? But now, that's enough to explain the point. But still, see, I believe the Bible is based upon, a promise is based upon your end of the deal. Because if you don't follow that, God is not obligated. He said to Abram back there, see, get up, get out of this land of Ur and go down to Canaan. Well, now, what if Abram said, well, you know, now, Lord, it's a long journey down through there. I'll just go over here. This is beautiful land. You know what God would have said? Continue on. But I'm not going to bless you until you get back to where I tell you to go. Right? You remember Jonah? The story of Jonah in the belly of the whale? He was told to go to Nineveh. He got on a ship going to Joppa, or I might have those crossed, but anyhow, he was told to go to one place. He got on a ship somewhere else. Well, he got in bad shape out there before he ever got down to the bases And he didn't know that he was going back to Nineveh. Now you think Jonah was standing at the door, just throw me over in there and the whale will swallow me and I'll head to Nineveh and I'll preach. No, he didn't. He thought the end was for him because he had failed to keep God's word. You know what the prophet said to children of Israel? Backslidden as long as they're out of the homeland. Now they're out of the homeland today because of maybe driven out or this, that, the other. But yet today they can go back. You know. Well, if they don't go back, they ain't going to be 140,000 in Israel when we leave out of here and 4,000 in America. Now. So it's on the conditional situation that when God promises you something, He will try you for that to see if you'll believe what He said. Well, what's the problem with us then? I thought we believed the trying of our faith, what? Worketh wrath. Uh-oh, I misquoted something, didn't I? The trying of our faith worketh patience. Alright. Why? Because that's the only way we can come to that. See? You and I need patience. We'll get to it in a minute, patience with God, but we need patience. A positive attitude is the only thing that will bring patience to you. All right, Luke 21:19 says, in patience possess ye your soul. In patience possess ye your soul. See, we need patience to believe what God said. We need patience then to wait on Him. To fulfill that, page 35, I gave it to you, statue of a perfect man. The prophet said, we need patience with God. Amen. Right. See, God tell you something. Amen. And it don't come to pass immediately. But, hey, it's easy when you know and you read something and it just immediately comes to pass. Boy, that's something, isn't it? I've had very rare occasions of that. Right. Very rare. Right. You know, amen. And I'm pretty sure most of you are that way. But that rare occasion, just something, just when God just speaks, I mean, that's it. Well, you just glory, hallelujah, and here it is, you know. But that don't bring any patience to you. That don't put you to possession your soul. That don't bring it that away. But it's when that God speaks to you, and you have to wait for that, as Joseph did. You think about it every day that man... Especially went down there and everything looked like it was going pretty good. You know. And he thought, man, I'm going good. I'm on the way. I don't know how God's going to work it out, but I guess He's going to put me up here with the king and probably will go down and take over, you know, down there and, you know, I'll just be His right hand man and we'll take over and He'll die and when He dies, I'll just step right up on the throne because I've done seen, you know, that all my brothers and all is going to have to bow down to me. But then all at once, whammo, he's in jail, worse than what he was to start with. He's down there accused of playing around with the big man's wife. And he's fixing to be killed. I bet he thought different about it then. You know. But see, he still held on. That's what I've always said about David. Why David would have so much of a courage about him to face a lion or a bear or a giant or whatever. Why? If he believed God anointed him to be king, they wouldn't anything could happen to David till he sat on the throne. Well, church, we've been promised a rapture. We've been promised a redemption of these bodies. See? Until that takes place, at least let me keep saying it. Because I believe that we're in the process of those things. Right. Yes, something's going on. Right. All right. But see, church, our trouble is that we want something to happen immediately. Well, that's easy, isn't it? But when you call on God and He just seems like He's gone on vacation. You know, I mean, you're crying out to Him and you say, well, this is what I done the last time. I done this and I done that and I fasted a few days. I cried. I done this. And the Lord come right on the scene. So I'll do that. You do it? No God. No answer to your prayers. What do you think about the Hebrew children when they were headed to the fiery furnace? But they had one attitude about them that was positive. They said, whether or not God will deliver us, we don't know. But we know one thing for certain. We're not going to bow down to that king and his attitude and doing. That was their positive attitude. And in doing that, positive attitude will bring you to patience. Because then you'll realize, I'm in a trial. Abraham, 25 years from the promise to the time that it was made manifest, and yet he's holding on the whole time and says, Sarah, get them booties and birdies, you know, get the diapers and get the little booties and things, because the baby's coming. The Bible said he was stronger. The older he got, the more he said, it's coming. Because you've got to be tried by it. Brother Rand said that this bride would be tried in the end time to prove that she wouldn't fall like Eve did in the garden. Because we're saying the trying of your faith. The trying of it is what brings patience. The very thing that we want to bring patience to us, you know, is what we want to turn against it being done. We want to pray, Lord, I need patience. Whammo, here it is. Oh, boy, I tell you what, yesterday I was impatient. But today I'm just patient. No, no, it doesn't work that way. What is God seeing? Trouble? Get out of a job, get hungry, get all your payments due and can't pay, make them? Maybe we're too rich. Don't worry about it. That's going to take care of it pretty quick. But maybe we're too rich. Maybe we don't have enough needs to go to God. But just remember now what I'm trying to say. Our trouble is what will bring us to the position, but we must believe it. Now, everything. See, I remember a man at work one time. He said, I used to wonder if I was saved or not, but said, I found out that if you're saved, you're going to have trouble. And he said, now I know I'm saved. Well, what about everybody in the world then that's got trouble? I mean, you want to go over somewhere in Africa today and some of those places where the kids are starving to death? That's not the basis of Christianity. The basis of Christianity is believing what God says. Having faith in what He said. But as quick as you come to Him, Brother Ryan said what? He said Satan's going to train every gun on you to try to make you doubt. Coming after you with trouble when it looks like you ought to be flowering you for everything. You know, it's really, oh, just blessing you and just everything. And it does that when you first come to Christ. He's got a way of raising kids. We pet our kids, we pamper them, we baby them and everything. But then one day you have to say, hey, look, wake up, boy. You old enough now to get off of these sugar tits and get out here and start doing something. You know, go to school and learn to do this, that, or the other. Get out and go to work. And God has to do you and I that way. But we need patience. That's the title of the message. It's have patience. Especially have patience with God. To where that God can come on the scene. But our trouble is we want it immediately. We don't look back at all of the examples set before us by all of the warriors of faith to see how their faith was tried. We just want a glory, hallelujah, oh, everything's wonderful. No. We've got to be tried. Trouble's coming our way. You tell God you want to be a Christian, watch out. Trouble's coming your way. Things are going to go wrong. But that doesn't mean anything. What are we, a bunch of shiftless babies, you know? They want to be petted. Hey, look, I love to be petted, don't you? But sometimes you got to stand. But now watch. Look at Hebrews 6:15 that we read. So when he had patiently endured. That didn't say when he just endured. It didn't say after a time. It said when he had patiently endured. All right. What took place? He obtained the promise. After he had patiently endured. After he had had to wait and everything. See? Because then a positive attitude, now watch, is based upon patiently waiting. A positive attitude is based upon patiently waiting on God to fulfill His Word. Like we read on the statue, or quoted there on the statue of perfect man I gave you to read. It's when you have patience and you go to God and you ask God for something and He doesn't give it to you right then. He doesn't make it manifest. And when He does that away, see, it gets bad. Look at Hebrews 10:36. For we have need of patience. What? That after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. After you have done the will of God. God tells you, I'll bless you if you'll go do so and so. You go do that. You mind Him and tell Him what you will do. It's mighty easy if He showers it down right then, isn't it? Oh, it's nice for Him to right then to come on the scene. But what if He don't? You know, the prophet of God said, for you to have an unction, as we call it, from God, and you immediately healed or something, you know, you pray a prayer and you immediately healed of that, I mean, it's gone. You know, the symptoms are gone. Everything's gone. But watch it. But He said, for you to have to take God's Word and confess God's Word and wait for days, weeks, or months upon that to be made manifest, He said, is a whole lot greater than the instant healing. Because the instant healing doesn't bring you patience. But a positive attitude about God's Word will bring patience to you. After you've been tried, after it's been a long time of bringing it, see, after you've heard the Word of God, see, that's what's wrong with the people of the Message. I mean, it was really an upgoing thing back in the 60s, you know. Oh, everybody, we're here, and oh, we're ready, and oh, it's just, the Lord's going to come just any day. You know, it's just, oh, we're ready. Oh, can't you just feel the presence? God is going to sweep among us, and we're... It was just a great thing. Predictions started going. 73s and 74s. 77. Oh, yeah, the Lord's coming in 77. I asked the pastor of the church where I was at. You know, I said, what if it don't pass? What if it passes 77? He said, I'll get out of the Message. And then he caught me. I was right in front of all these people. So he had to backpedal a little bit. He said, oh, I'd say we misunderstood, Brother Brown. But his first statement was his statement, because you see, he was based upon whether or not it would come at that time. Well, then that passed off. Well, then they got another one, and everybody's geared up. Oh, yes, it's coming in 80, you know. It's coming in 80, or about 86, you know. They really hit that one, because we used to teach that in the Baptist church, and most of the people in this Message didn't even know that. In the Baptist church, I've heard it taught that rapture is coming in and by 86 or 88, because when Israel would be established as a nation, 40 years later, it would come. But see, the boy, everybody was geared up. Yes, here it is. Oh, we'll be out of here. He just went right on. What was he doing? Trying. Amen. Oh, I got a faith. I got faith, brother. I got a revelation. God will try it. I got a revelation or something. God will try it. Come on now, watch what I'm saying and see if this is right. God reveals something to you. And watch what I'm saying and see if it's right. See if you agree with it. God revealed something, say, to you on one God or water baptism or something like that. And you watch. It won't be 3 months until some preacher or somebody will come by talking to you contrary to that. And they say they're led of the Lord to come by. Lord told me to come talk to you. Try to talk you out of what God revealed to you. Well, if he can, he didn't reveal it. That's common sense. They don't need a revelation, does it? If the devil can talk you out of something, you didn't have what you're talking about. But see, notice that and you'll see that when somebody watches it, even in the message of the hour you watch it, that when God starts revealing something to you, watch it flare up over here, somebody teaching contrary to that. Come on, watch it. You hadn't paid attention to that. Somebody will come along with some way trying their best to infiltrate an idea into your mind, and then either they can't, they'll finally say, well now brothers, now what we need to do is, we need to find a happy meeting ground now. Now you believe what you want to believe, and I believe what I want to believe, but we just be brothers and we'll, you know, no, no. There ain't no happy meeting ground. There ain't no happy meeting ground. I like to fellowship, but there ain't no meeting ground. I ain't going to lay down something to fellowship with you. You want to fellowship with me about me, you can fellowship with me about me. You know, I mean, just with me. Because I'm not going to compromise something I believe to fellowship. You just give me an opportunity, I'll tell you I'm not going to do it. But see, listen. See, we need patience. After we have done the will of God. After we've actually done the will of God. We need patience. To wait for God to make that manifest. Look at Moses. Shoved out there. But then he comes up. He didn't have much trouble during that first 40 years. No. Why? Because he's being trained. He didn't have a lot of problems. It's when he stepped out on what God said about him and called him, then trouble come his way. Brother Dale, are you trying to tell me if I get saved today that trouble's coming my way? I can't tell you nothing else. If I did, I'd be lying. Well, why don't get saved for? You won't get saved to get out of going to hell, for one thing. That's the first thing, to get out of going to hell. But the second thing is to know that God would come and live in your heart. To think that God, the very God of glory, wants to come and live in your heart. Did Jesus go through trials and troubles? Every day to him was a trial. Winds up, you know, over there in his temptation. If thou be the Son of God, turn these stones to bread, you know. If thou be. See, he had to be tried. Then we want to go through life in a 65 little form, you know, when you get saved. I've heard it used to be preached to us that way. I'm talking about in a denomination. You get saved and you come to the Lord, everything's just wonderful from then on. All your bills will be paid. They even got churches now, I heard here a while back, that this one church, certain in place, a denominational church, but their whole basis is to get everybody in the church out of debt. See? Preaching prosperity is salvation. Well, I tell you what, I guarantee you, they got a lot of members today. But as quick as the debts are paid, right? How long do you think they're going to hang around after the debts are paid? Oh, they got a lot of members. But they're not going to hang around once the debts are paid. Look like the people would be smart enough to know that. But that's what they think God told them to do. They think God told them to do this. Because there's nobody that says the devil told them to go do something. It's always God leading, God guiding and all. But go back and take all of the examples of the Bible and study those examples that anybody that ever amounted to anything had a positive attitude. Even during a time of a total, almost seemingly defeat. Almost seemingly when they were being destroyed. But yet they had a positive attitude. And they kept that positive attitude until God made manifest what He said. And if they didn't keep that positive attitude, God's not responsible to make manifest what He told you. No, if God told me you'll come to fight, well, you got something, but you better line it up right. Because if you doubt that promise, God's not obligated to you if you doubt the promise that He made. He's obligated to us when we know His Word says it, and we say just what His Word says. That prophet of God come over that rapture message, he said, it has been spoken, now let it come to pass. You know what I believe? Even though Paul had prophesied and everything, it wouldn't have come to pass had he not made that word. He said, it has been spoken, now let it come to pass. But it'll never take place until you and I come to the place to where that we can believe what God has said. Until we can walk out on what God has said and be there. We had a great time yesterday at the Bible study. Probably about, 30 of us or more. And a good crowd last night for Bible study. We had a good time to sit around and talk about things like what I'm just saying. It was a great time. You should have been there. I'd love for some of y'all to try to answer Josiah's question. A 3-year-old. Well, now he's 4. Man, I'm getting him too young. He's 4. A 4-year-old asked the question. Well, now I wouldn't talk to a 4-year-old. I'm so much above that, you know. No, you ain't above that. The Bible says if you can't become as a little child. The prophet said we need to bring it down to where the children can understand. But Josiah asked the question. See, he's been taught one God. He's been taught that Jesus is God. He said, then how did Jesus create Mary before he was ever born?
Amen.
Well, the little feller had a question. Well, I ain't answering no silly question. That wasn't a silly question. It was a great one. For a 4-year-old to ask it, it was great. So we had to go through to try to explain that God created man and woman, you know, and they fell. But then all of the people from that, God didn't have to create anymore. What He done was just use them to bring forth bodies and things. And that's what He done for Mary, was brought her forth a body, you know, because His word had done been spoken. But then God placed that seed into Mary to bring that body. He had already said, see, a little fella knowed enough to say, he said, did Jesus create His own body?
Amen.
Well, that's exactly right.
Right.
The Word created a body, Hebrews 10:5. So the little fella had a great understanding.
Amen.
Shows a good improvement of mom and daddy over there to understand. But listen, church. Your faith must be tried. Your revelation must be tried. Now in the end time, we see all of these doctrines coming out. And what's that to do? All these doctrines in the message. What's that to do? To try your faith.
Right.
We could ever one walk across the street over here and the brother preach a Trinity doctrine and hell's eternal and all kind of off the script. It wouldn't deceive none of us.
Right.
You wouldn't even think, you'd be praying for the man. But it's when they come right among us bringing the very message they claim that the prophet has brought. And using the very message that he has brought unto us. Giving you quote after quote after quote of what the prophet said.
And a lot of times I don't have the answer. You know what I mean? I don't have an answer to refute the statement is made. But you know what I do? I've got a positive attitude. Because there's one thing about it. What I believe it positive. Now if I'm wrong, I don't have no problem changing that. Just show me I'm wrong. But show me in the Bible and the prophet's message that it's wrong. But until you show me, I'm going to keep that positive attitude about what God revealed to me. Brother Moat was the greatest teacher that's ever been in this message, the man that we started the church together. But that didn't give me a revelation. The greatest teacher anywhere in this message, but that didn't make it revealed to me. That made the mechanics. That I can understand the mechanics. And understand, well, yeah, I know that's right because of this, 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 this. It's got to be right. But then one day God revealed. Now, it does not make no difference who comes against me to say, Brother Dale, you're wrong. I say, show me. Show me where I'm wrong. I'm open. Show me where I'm wrong. But until you show me, I'm going to keep a positive attitude about what God said to me. Because I believe He spoke to me. If you've ever had a revelation, that was God speaking to you. You're wanting to be, as I said to start with, like Abraham, some kind of an audible hearings or some kind of a great sign or a great blast or something before you believe what God said. Now, why can't we believe His Word? Why can't we just believe what He said? He said, you'll be there with your offspring. Amen. I've had to believe that and stand on it. That don't make an automatic process for the grandkids because it didn't make an automatic process for the kids or the son-in-law or whatever. Daughter-in-laws, it didn't make an automatic process. Now they got to believe it. But I believed it. And I still believe it. I stand upon it because I believe what He said. I just read His Word and that's what He said to me. You say, yeah, but that might not be... What kind of an idea have you got about God's Word? If you read the Bible and think it's not talking about you, who do you think it's talking about? Amen. Who do you think it's talking to when you read it? Right. Why don't you just tear out all of the pages that don't have nothing to do with you? You wouldn't find but probably one. What, years ago they was trying to take the gifts out, you know, and this is back in the 60s, and they was preaching the gifts wasn't no good anymore, and take them out and throw them away, you know, not use the gifts no more. But I told this brother, I said, hand me your Bible. But he wouldn't do it. I'd have bought him a brand new Bible, I'd have ripped out of there the scriptures that speaks about the gifts.
That's right.
Because that's what I'd have said, you don't need this, you don't need this. I'd have handed it back to him without that in it. He knew better than to hand me that Bible. But listen, church, why can't we believe what God says? It doesn't matter if I can't make it manifest. What's that got to do with it? Now listen to what I'm saying for a moment to try to understand. There's things in the Bible I might not be able to make manifest because it might not be for me. It may be for you to make manifest that. Well, I can't make that manifest. You're the one that can make it manifest. Because I believe that there's scriptures for each and every one of us to make manifest and do it.
Amen.
That's why I preach like I do. Like I said, a call to preach is not a rooster up in a tree crowing. Or grandma, grandpa that sent you to school. That's not the call to preach. Paul said, whereof I'm called, the mystery. See, God told me to tell something to Lula when He called me to preach. And that's what I've been trying to tell you. About what God told me to tell you. The personal revelation of God to you.
Right.
Not something that you... See? Not look. You look at me. You look at me, we're all going to be in bad shape. But take the word I bring to you, the faith, the revelation I try to bring to you, for your own personal experience. Because you can't have a positive attitude after my positive attitude. You're only saying what somebody else says. When I say it to you, automatically you receive negative. Come on, automatically your brain, your hearing, automatically receives a negative because you're just hearing letters, words. It takes God to quicken that down in there to make it positive. And ask God to speak to you. Sure, if you got a question, Brother Brown said God will put a man on the pulpit. But some of the questions we ask, if we go to him, he'd give us the right answer. Like Brother Brown said, you women about your painting your face, and you cutting your hair, and you dressing like, he said, if there's any question in your mind, you ought not do it anyway. Come on, you don't have to have somebody read it to you. If there's any question in your mind, don't do it anyway. Because you're doubting what's going on. Right? But see, your faith must be tried. As Joseph had to go through all of that trials after God had spoken unto him. Moses, after God had called him, had all of that trouble. Man, he thought at the burning bush, I'll go back down there and they'll believe me. Man, I'll just go down there and I'll throw down this stick and I'll just do it. He went down there. I'm sorry to tell you this, but the Egyptians believed him more than the children of Israel. Come on. You go back and think about it. The Egyptians actually believed more what Moses, because they could see what he was doing. They knew to leave that old boy alone. Why didn't that king just say, hey, cut his head off? Come on. That king, all he had to do was just cut his head off. Well, everybody in his old military went after Moses. But he was scared of him. Because he knew he had a positive attitude. Talk to Brother Harris, especially here today, or Brother Dean, about some of these that's been in, Brother Tom and all them, that's been in karates and things. You better leave a man alone. He's standing grinning at you. You ask him if I ain't right. I've never been a fighter like that, but I know that much. You look at somebody, just say, leave me alone. But you better go leave them alone. Because when you hem up somebody, he's going to fight some way, and you don't know what he's going to use. But see, you watch a man that's got a positive attitude. Because the Bible said, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. Brother Gary back there clucking on a banjo or a guitar years ago, and he said, boom, boom. Now, that drive me crazy. I couldn't stand it. If I was his wife or husband, I sure couldn't stand it. I'd probably shot him. You know, all he's doing, boom, 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 boom. 3 days later, boom, boom, boom. He just, it's driving me crazy. But you know, if he hadn't have done that, he couldn't play the banjo or any guitar or anything. It took a lot of patience to learn to do that. Well, how much more should we have with God? See, the trying of your faith, James 1:3. The trying of your faith worketh patience. Now I want to read what Brother Branham had to say, and let's just see if it fits us here on this other quote that we got. Listen to what he had to say. This is page 312 of the Church Age book. Revelation 3:10. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience. Now, that's back there to the church age, right? This is not even our age. This is even back there during, that would have been Luther or Wesley, 1:310 there. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Brother Run said that was a promise that the bride wouldn't go into tribulation. All right. Now, but watch. What does it mean by the word of his patience? Hebrews 6:13-15. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely I will bless thee, and multiplying I'll multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. You see, the Spirit is speaking about the word of God, which is given to us. Now what? To wait for the fulfillment of that word required patience, even as it did in the case of Abraham. Now he's talking about that age, seeing now, but take it to me and you now. He endured as seeing him who is invisible. See, Abraham endured, you see. He was patient, and then the word finally was fulfilled. This is the way God teaches his people patience. Now watch it. Why, if he fulfilled his word in physical manifestations, the very instant you prayed, you would never learn patience. Now listen. But would become even more impatient with life. Mark back there, just thinking about him. He comes down here from up north and got a big thing going. He gets down here and he's going to do all these big things in selling cars. And the first thing you know, the bottom fell out. First thing you know, he was without all of that things of doing, you know, and everything. Well, I think I'll just go back up north. He thought about that. He talked about that. But one day he made a little statement. He said, but I believe I'm hearing the word. He shouldn't have never said that. That automatically put him in trouble. That automatically made it worse. He could have just packed up and went back home and picked up the business right where he left off. But because he said he was hearing the word. Then he went down. Now things are coming back up. But after you patiently endure, after you wait a while. And I'm sure in all of that time he was praying, God, you're showing me the word. Why ain't things going good? God looks at him and grins and says, things going just the way I want it. But, bud, that's hard on the human. Right? Terrence sitting there, got years ago, him and his people he's working with, there's three of them together, and they just shut down the business. He come to me one day and he said, Daddy, I'm thinking about this maybe starting back up. I think I can make a go at it. I said, okay, we'll pray. Of course, you know what he done. He started the business and he bought it and it's working wonderful. But when they start remodeling around there, everywhere they looked, there was a prayer cloth stuck in the building. And they'd pull something down to remodel, and there's a prayer cloth stuck. Why? Because they had to put it on the word. But after you've patiently endured. But now, if he come on the scene immediately, look what the prophet said. If he come on the scene immediately, you would become more impatient with life. That don't even look right, does it? The way God does things doesn't look right to a human being.
Hallelujah.
But watch and go on now. You know, let's reread. Why, if he fulfilled his word in physical manifest, in other words, he made it manifest immediately. The very instant you prayed, you would never learn patience, but would become more impatient with life. Let me show you this truth even more fully set forth. Hebrews 11:17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promise, the word of God, offered up his only begotten son. Now you know there that he was given the son and given a promise from that son that he would be, you know, the world would be covered with his children. Then he's told to go up and sacrifice him. He's told to go kill him. But watch his positive attitude. The child and I shall go, but the child and I shall return. So like Brother Richard Wilson said, he knew he was going to take him up there and burn him. You know, he knew he was going to take the wood, he was going to go up there and kill him and burn him. But he had a handful of ashes. Right? That's a whole lot more than he had to start with. To start with, he didn't have nothing but the promise of God. So how much more could God bring back the ashes? See, we look at it in a negative instead of positive, don't we? All right. There it is. Abraham was tried after he received the word of promise. But most think that as soon as we pray in Jesus' name over the good promises of God, that there could not be a trial. But here it says that Abraham was tried after he received the promise. That is exactly correctly according to the psalmist referring to Joseph. That's the one we read. Until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. God gives us exceeding great and precious promises. He has promised to fulfill them. He will. But from the time we pray until the time we get the answer, we must learn to receive patience into our souls, for only in patience do we possess life. May God help us to learn this lesson, even as we know that the people of this sixth age learn patience. We read the history of the lives of these Christians. What a contrast we see between their lives and ours, for they were so patient and quiet, and today we're all but overcome in our over-impatient haste. God, give me. Okay, there it is. Spoiled brat. That's exactly right. God answered you as quick as you asked him, you'd be a spoiled brat. Then one day you ask him again and he won't answer you, you're in trouble. But to be able, right in the time of all the troubles and the heartaches and the trials, to thank God. What about the lady that the prophet was telling about was on the ship coming to America? Big storm hit. And they come out and told everybody, said, pray and everything, said, because in 30 minutes, we're going to be in the harbor or we're going to be in the depths of the ocean. She started rejoicing. Glory, hallelujah. They said, wait a minute. We're telling you, in 30 minutes, you're going to be in the harbor. You're going to be in. She said, that's right. She said, because I got a child in glory. Right. And said, I got a child in the harbor. Right. Said, in 30 minutes, I'm going to be with one of them. That's a positive attitude. That'll bring patience to you. But you see, when God gives you a promise, you better abide by it. You remember Paul was promised when he was on the ship sailing. You know, he was promised. He said, the Lord who I serve was stood by me last night and said, the ship's going down. But said, all of you will be spared. As long as you go with me, in other words. Well, even the soldiers, the people, read the Bible. Some of the people on the ship got on cutting the boats. They're going to drop to get away. He told them, he said, if you do, there's no promise. In other words, what I saw was all of us go, and if one of them goes, there ain't no promise that we're going to be saved. Said, you better make sure, and you better make sure you stop them boys from leaving this ship. Well, they thought enough of him and went out and cut the boats off and dropped them. Amen. To keep everybody on that boat with them. Because they had a positive attitude. There's one thing about it. That man has told us a many a thing, and now he's told us we got to stay on this ship till it runs aground. Because you see, if one person went out of there was no promise. See, we've got to do what God says, folks. That's why I tell you, God promised you your children. But if you live like the devil in front of them, what are you trying to draw them to? Come on, you live, your children will follow your example. I know people get offended at me for saying things like that. But it's true. I can't help a word be true. Your children will follow your example. What example have you laid down before them? Well, I go to church when I want to. And the kids come along and they say, well, I ain't going. What's wrong with my kids? What's wrong with your kids is what you trained your kids. I've told you over and over, every one of you ought to go apologize to your kids, your children, and tell them you're sorry for raising them the way you did. But Brother Dale, I done everything. Don't talk to me in garbage cans. Just don't come and tell me, say, Brother Dale, I've done everything I could do. I might remind you of some of the things I can remember that I didn't think you was doing right. But you see, in patience possess you your soul. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. But you got to wait. You got to be tried. As I said a while ago, the prophet said it was to prove to Satan this Eve wouldn't fall like that one did back there. The church. Waiting upon God. Come on, brother. Waiting upon God to fulfill His promise. Even though He's already given it to you. Even though He done showed you a vision. You remember Brother Branham about the bear and the caribou and the things, you know, and he went around the country telling everybody about it. But he had to wait till God fulfilled it. And even the people that was with him after seeing him shoot the caribou, that he had told them he would kill a caribou, 42-inch horns, and all like that. Even the people that was with him. Said, but Brother Branham, you said you'd kill a silver-tipped bear. He said, well, I will. Well, where's it at? I can see the horses. I can see the people. There's no place between you and there for it to be a bear. He said, that don't have nothing to do with it. After they saw the things, like Brother Biscoe said, that he was 4 to 6 hours or something, maybe longer, in the vision that Brother Branham had told him and never even considered it. Until even the shirt Brother Branham said would be in the vision. And he didn't even realize what was going on. See, church, we should take a positive attitude and watch for God to move. Thank God for the things you see and what you do. Like I tell you about Brother Gary Atkins' daddy. Wonderful, wonderful doctor. You know. But he said, if you want to be a garbage collector, be a good one. I told you, he'd brag. He'd say, there, Gary and them, bad financial business as far as money being made. And maybe they let him drive a car home or something. And Dr. Atkins said, you know, that's just wonderful about them. Did they let Gary drive that car home? A positive attitude. Don't let negativism get on to you because it'll drive you to insanity. That's what spirits do. Spirits drive people because of negativism. And it does. It gets on you and it'll drive you insane. I'm one of the worst sometimes to be negative. You just don't never know it. Because there's one thing about it, I'll hide it if I am negative. Because I'm trying my best not to let you see that I'm negative. My wife comes in, she'll say, what's wrong, honey? You're taking medicine. You're taking pain pills or something. What's wrong with you? I said, I'm hurting. Well, why didn't you tell me? I said, what good did it do to tell you? Because I take God's word and I stand on God's word and I keep saying, by His stripes I'm healed. And until this day, I've never had one thing that I didn't walk out of. Because He promised me. And I took His word. Let's stand. Think on these things.
Amen. Number 200 in the spiral book.
Number 200 in the spiral book. If anybody has a need, the altar's open.
Thunderstormy banks I stand and cast a witchful eye. For Canaan's fair and happy land, where my possessions lie. I am bound for promised land. I am bound for promised land.
Trouble lots of times. Let's just do what we always do. Let's just put this in God's hand. Our sister said she's very impatient the other day. Had a bad impatient attitude all day. You know what happened? She had a wreck. Why? Because you're not paying attention. But if you're positive, everything will work. We'll just give her a prayer cloth and put it in her billfold for your impatience. Okay. Believe it. Anybody else? Be impatient and you'll get in trouble. Because if you're impatient, you're always nervous. But if you're patient, you can believe and stand upon it. Father, our sister said she wants to ask the church to just forgive her for being very impatient. We bring her before you, Lord, as the body of Jesus Christ, believing you that you'll take away that impatient part, because she wants to see you make manifest your word. But sometimes we got to wait. But all the time we can look at it and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I believe it. Just keep confessing it until it comes to pass. We thank you, Father. So just bless our sister, Lord, and take away the impatience out of her. Let your love be made manifest in Jesus' name. Anybody else?
Which bull I for Canaan's fact.
Have you been impatient with God? And get a positive attitude. Say, God, don't let that come no more. We all have it in our lives. We all have ups and downs and problems. But come into a place that we can be positive about it. And say, thank you, Lord. Everything's great. I believe you. Anybody else have a need before we close?
Of your holiness, God Almighty, Prince of Peace, troubles vanish, hearts are lifted.
Just remember, God never takes back His word. If He promises, the problem's on our end. Brother told me one time about a big promise that he said God had made him. I said, there ain't but one person in the world can keep that from coming to pass. I said, that's you. I said, because you're the one that can stop it from taking place. But to believe what God has said and just say thank you. I don't go around every day looking for trouble. You know, I don't get up in the morning and say, well, here I am another day, trouble's going to come. I get up every day with a positive attitude. Trouble comes my way today, I'm going to rebuke it. I'm going to rebuke it in Jesus' name. I'm going to believe. But see, He'll never forget His promise. You send that Holy Spirit after your family. Believe it. Go with a positive attitude. No matter how bad it gets, go with a positive attitude. To where you can see God made manifest.
Hearts are mended. In the presence.
Most of you heard that Josh had a wreck Friday and total lost his car. Done a stupid thing. Because he's trying to pass somebody and clipped them and then tried to outrun them. Stupid thing for a kid. But listen. When the wreck was over, there was only one person in the car, and that's Josh. But the people actually saw a man.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Walking away from that wrecked car and walking down through the woods. They were out hunting for him because they thought there was somebody else in the car. They was. The one that was there was him. Because we had sent that. Because we had believed it. He's always there. They said they saw a man walking away.
Hallelujah.
To believe God's promise. And not doubt it. Believe his word. Think on these things. Father, we thank you for an opportunity today, Lord, to talk about you and about you and how you're very, very patient God to wait upon us, to walk through the things that we walk through until we come to the place that we can have patience. Help us to have patience with you most of all, Lord, but then help us to have patience with one another, because that's really something. We get impatient with the people about their doings and things, but help us to have patience and to wait upon you and to realize realization that in due time your word will come to pass, and we thank you. Go with us now as we eat a natural meal. Bring us back together this evening. Let your love be made manifest in each one in Jesus' name.